You're listening to the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast, recorded in Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
And welcome back. We're all back here again, even though last week you really mainly heard from Ruhi and her special guests. So we're going to talk about that this week, but I'm Mike.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Ruhi.
And welcome back to Sleep in Society podcast with Ruhi Sleep. I think really in order to move forward from what was a fantastic conversation last week, I think we want to first hear from you and tell us what that experience was like, being in the room with four very engaging young people talking about really a variety of topics. It was fascinating how you get into discussing first aid and school classes and what works and what doesn't, and the even a little touch of politics in there. It was kind of nice to see the variety.
Just a touch of. I think if we'd left the conversation going, it would have gone full blown political.
Well, hey,
yeah. I think they did mention that they want to come back and have a conversation.
Great.
And I think we'll bring them back.
Great. So what was it like in the room?
It was fantastic. It was such a great energy. I felt it was so engaging that I didn't actually want to disrupt the flow of conversation. Yeah. So if those that have listened to this episode know that my input was minimal in terms of just moderating the conversation and not interrupting their flow of thought, because I think they were so incredibly articulate and so incredibly engaging.
Let them answer each other as well, which is something that some moderators, I find, will let one person talk and then will engage the next person and try to pull people into the conversation. You never really had to do that. You just let them answer each other and go from topic to topic, and it was almost like the four of them are communicating with each other.
Full blown discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
There were hand signals. We had signals that we were using to make sure that everybody got to participate in the conversation, that one wasn't left out.
Yeah.
And but I think I think they did amazingly well. I learned so much from them.
Interesting to me is what you sort of were able to get out of this conversation, because I know from someone listening to it, there's a lot that you can gather about the insights from young people. But what are some of the takeaways you had right off the bat from that amazing conversation?
I think what was interesting is having a teenager at home. I learned quite a bit.
Yes.
From this conversation than I would have being, having a teenager at home.
That's very interesting. I actually would have thought it would have been different. Just when you get in those sort of formal settings, I guess being around friends and stuff, there's a certain relaxing. But I know that it would be hard for me to still open up. But you found you were learning things.
I'm Mike, always learning things, especially from the adolescence group, because I think they have such incredible brains. Mm-hmm. They have so much going on. And the way they see the world is definitely not the way that we adults see it. And I think that was so important to have those conversations, so we can, if we are to build systems around that, to bring them into this. So I have a concept in terms of parasocial relationships, concept, but that was so clearly defined to me during that particular conversation that I was like, wait a minute. What is this concept? And then when I went in to look into that, that was amazing that they already knew about that, and they were able to articulate that, and incredibly interesting.
It was interesting to me, when wrapping up this episode, we can take little bits and pieces from last week and kind of talk about it. I don't want to obviously nitpick too much, just because it's not like we have the script in front of us of that conversation, but I don't want to misquote anyone. But I did find it was very interesting when they all started to talk about their experiences with school, specifically the conversations around school start times, what their days look like at the beginning heading into school, and just kicking the day off. Because I think in our discussions, we've talked a lot about the pressures around young people and how it relates to after school and getting to bed. And this was interesting to really get from their perspective of waking up and starting the day, what it was like. Mm-hmm. And I specifically remember from a few points of talking about one or two, two of the young people said, well, you know, if the day was more 9:30 to 3:30 versus 8:30 to 2:30, I would feel much more refreshed mm-hmm. and much more able to be active at school and get things done. And I thought that was a very interesting perspective, because that is not the way that our system currently runs, and it's interesting. Shouldn't we be taking this from the
We've had this conversation in our previous, actually, leading up to the teen talk. We talked about their biological clock being delayed, and you know, the school start times, how important, how effective it would be if the school did start a little bit later, because they're not fully awake going into school. Most of them, I mean, some of them are, but most of them are not, because of the delays in their biological clock, and because of the sleep pressure that takes its time to build up during adolescence.
Yeah.
So, and they are aware of that. You know, when they're saying most of the, I think it was Isabel who was saying, we're walking into a class, it's like, you know, zombies.
Yeah.
Most of them are not even fully awake or aware.
Yeah.
And then how are they supposed to be learning, you know, that early in the morning when they're not fully awake? And especially if you have classes like mathematics or science first thing in the morning, right?
That's, which is heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff. And I think that was, it was great leading into the discussion when we were talking about what would help them out. And they were saying, oh, that if it was more sort of a free period, a more discussion-oriented, more about mental health, where they can have these discussions and then, you know, warm themselves up.
Yeah, they used to have, like, home periods and stuff like that. They kind of got away with that.
Oh, I think they don't... They still have home period, but I think the home period's only, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure, actually, in that.
They didn't have it there.
Yeah.
And a couple of them mentioned that fellow students of theirs who had first period spares always felt that it was easier for them to start the day, and they felt happier at school and that type of thing, because you had that extra time in the morning.
And it was so interesting, because my son has next semester, he has a first period spare. And I thought, I asked him, I said, what you planning on doing? He said, I think I'm going to be sleeping in. That's the reason that that's the only reason he took the first period as spare, because he needs to, he wants that time, especially in the wintertime when they're waking up and it's, you know, cold and dark and miserable out there. So I think it'll be interesting to see his energy levels next semester, to see where he's at, because it is difficult at times, because sometimes they have a hard time sleeping at night, you know?
Yeah, and that first period spare would be very helpful to anyone who has the sort of flexibility to sleep in. Like, I remember I hated having first and last period spare, because I couldn't go home, because I had to wait for the bus anyway to
go back
to GAN. But I loved having a second or third period spare, because I just extended my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I either had lunch and got some time after, or had a little bit time before and could go get something to eat before it was too busy. Like, I liked having that extended lunch time as opposed to the beginning. But I still felt like that allowed me to refresh myself a bit and just cool down and take a break and just, you know, shut the brain off for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that for kids who have that flexibility, a first period spare, I never even thought of it that way, could be very helpful to get that extra sleep.
Yeah, I think it would be, as they said, it would benefit them greatly to be able to get that, so they're not rushing to school. They're not rushing to school while still feeling sleepy, and they can just, you know, go in feeling refreshed, and they can take their time in getting ready for school. Mm. And I think that was a great point. I really appreciated them talking about that. And I like the fact that they were so open about everything and open and engaging. And, you know, especially when it came to their mental health. And because I don't remember having those conversations at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no. during my teen years. And
yeah, and they brought up, like, wouldn't it be interesting to start the day off with, like, a mental health period, or having that be part of, you know, your spares. Like, there's also mental health time, and there's also this incorporated. None of that was really around now. That's kind of a change in time in terms of...
Well, we know thinking. More about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, and we have a lot more data
about
it, scientifically speaking. A lot more studies are coming out about that, and you know, mental health and its in adolescence and development in adolescence, which wasn't 15 years ago. 15 years ago, we thought, all the development happens during early ages of childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just recently, in the past 15 years, we've realized that actually, no, most of the development is actually happening during adolescence. Yeah. Because adolescence is the time where your brain is developing into who you're going to become. And it's also a very vulnerable time in terms of development as well. This is where you are taking, you're doing taking risks. Mm-hmm. And this is also the time where you're susceptible to mental disorders and to addiction. And so I think more knowledge we have, and that's really most like recent in last decade that this sort of information is definitely coming out. Yeah. And I think they are very much in tune with that. So it's interesting that they are open about that. And I truly appreciate that because I think this conversation needs to take place. We need to engage more kids into that so we can figure out how we can help them become better and help our society become better.
It's definitely been a shift in mindset that I think we've all noticed that we still have a long way to go, but it's nice to see and hear that young people seem to be more ahead of the game in that, and that's becoming part of their language that they're using as they're talking about mental health, and they're bringing that into consideration when they're thinking about studying and the best way to. I even liked when they were saying, you know, the effective ways of studying and being prepared to work and doing good, like getting good grades and caring about that, and how mental health is as important as, you know, you're not doing as good work if you're sick and ill and physically ill. Yeah. So of course mental health is the same thing. If
you're how are you going to learn or do effective work if you're anxious and depressed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And how do you motivate yourself to get there if you are in that kind of state of mind? And they were very clear about that. Yeah. I loved their flight, fight, and fear idea that sometimes they're not even, you know, simplest of tasks become monumental where they're not able to do that. And then I see that with my teen too.
Sure.
Actually, the other day, when he came home early, and I said, "Oh, are you okay?" He said, "Oh, I'm not feeling well emotionally, so I just needed space and I needed to come home," which I'm grateful that he's able to just come home.
I'm glad he can recognize that. Isn't that incredible?
It's
great.
Yeah, and then he came home, and you know, my first reaction as a parent is, "Oh my gosh, how can I help you? What can I do? How can I make you feel better? What can I do?" I think we had this conversation the other day where I was talking about, you know, all he wanted was, give me some food and give me some space.
Yeah.
Because we're not even giving them that kind of space to recognize that, I am in this kind of particular state of mind. Yeah. This is where I am emotionally. I need to sort this stuff out on my own. And then if I need to come to you, I will come to you.
Yeah.
Which I'm also grateful for because I don't think many kids have that kind of relationship.
I don't think so. And I think it all comes from different things that people do and don't have. Like there's lots of people who don't have the understanding of themselves to recognize that they need to ask for those things. They don't have the understanding that of a parent who recognizes, all I have to do is this for you know, my child, and that's all they need. So it kind of works both ways. Where in this situation, you're lucky that you have a child who recognizes this, a teen who can go, this is what I need. But then he's lucky that he has you that can say, this is what you need, and I'm going to give it to you. Because I know like plenty of situations where that wouldn't have happened, and I happen to think I had a great family life growing up, but I'm sure my parents would have reacted the same way instinctually. Like, what do we do to help? Too much. You know, too much space.
Too much space. And I think that's also a learning process for me as a parent,
for
because
sure.
We had the conversation right after. I said, you know what? I'm so sorry that I feel like I'm intruding upon this because I want to know exactly what's going on within your brain. I want to know exactly what's happening. And
It
comes from a mother brain. My maternal instincts are on. They come on and you're like, tell me your problems. Let me solve your problems rather than saying, you said I'm going through something and maybe I need to step back and allow you to come to me and to know that I am present and we are there for you. What is it that I can do just a little bit that allows you to have that space, which was, you know, he just wanted food at that particular point. He wanted food and he wanted to go into his room and think, and he came later. And we had a very interesting and good conversation when he was ready.
Yeah, yeah.
Not me pushing him into telling, you know.
But isn't it interesting, though, and just like sleep and food, like all these fuel things, sometimes, even for our mental health, that's what we need. We just need to refuel.
Yeah.
A good sleep, something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Puts us just in a different, even if the problem doesn't go away, you feel better about the problem. That is something that my parents taught me that took me forever to figure out, is if you just take care of yourself in the moments when you're feeling bad, even though the bad thing doesn't go away, you're going to feel a little bit better. And it's you're going to like retool yourself to be ready to combat whatever that is.
Yeah, but that's also a process to understand. You know, remember they're only 15, 16 as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And those systems, like, you know.
Oh, I wish I had the same thought. Yeah, to have his like sense of like, okay, this is what I need right now. I wish I had that at that age. I didn't at all.
Yeah, to be able to step away from that.
Now.
Yeah, and I think what was incredibly interesting to me during this conversation was how they are supporting one another.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of whether, you know, if they're going through something bad, because that's also the age. Adolescence is also the time where you are strongly influenced in terms of your peers, where we have... And just to bring it back, we have this conversation. I don't know whether it was episode 7 or 8, where we talked about this idea of them developing their own identity and separating themselves from their parents, but also being strongly influenced by peers. And this is not like just humans. This is, you can see this in mice and rats as well. Mm. They go through adolescence, I think it's 20 to 30 day adolescence period between mice and rats. And there was a study where showed that... If during puberty, rats were more influenced drinking more alcohol if they were with their peers than if they were separated from their peers. And it was
fascinating.
That was fascinating, yeah. And I thought, oh, this is very interesting because it's a cross species.
Yes.
And, you know, there was...
Which is that influence from having... peers around.
Oh, yeah, and because there's an increase in risk-taking behavior as well during adolescence. And so it's all of those things. And I thought, how interesting that this particular group elevated one another and was able to help one another and, you know, saying, okay, I can't sort this out on my own. I'm having a difficult time. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
Being able to help one another out, which is, I thought that was one of the most touching and most beautiful things about this particular conversation. Yeah.
It's so fascinating about the rats and the mice, like that it cross species. It's the same thing. Adolescence is so important, and peer influence. So again, if you surround yourself with supportive, good friends, it influences the way that you grow up and influences the way in this really important, crucial time. So it's great. Yeah, it's great to see that they have this group that supports
this particular group has that, and their influence is more positive than it is negative, because it can go the other way too, right?
Yeah.
This is where, as I said, risk taking behavior takes over, and also the fact that you can this is also where you are more prone towards mental disorders
and
that's also influenced by your environment as well, and addiction.
Yeah.
So, but most car accidents, what they noted, like in adolescence, is because most of them were with their peers when this happened.
Right.
If they were driving on their own, not so much. The risk of accidents increased significantly if they were with their peers.
Yeah. So, in order to wrap up this episode, at least, I really want to ask kind of the big question that I know we've talked about and addressed, but I just want to reiterate for people that this question is, why did you feel it was so important to talk to these teens and to get them in here with their peers having this conversation?
I think it's, I think they have a voice, and I think we need to listen to it. And they are, for me, these are their conversations. And I want to participate in these conversations with them, not at them. And that's the same thing. That's the same rule I apply in terms of my workshops, is having conversations with them, having listening to their realities, how it's influencing their world. Because we can study them all we want, but until we have these real life conversations, I think I don't think we can actually have a better system.
I think you hit a really good point there, because what you're saying is, for the most part, still the opposite way of thinking where youth groups who go out to help young people think. Having worked with a lot of youth groups,
yeah.
And I'm not going to name names, but it's almost all of them, they have this mindset of, well, a young person doesn't know what's good for them. I know what's good for them. So yeah. I can study them, and that's it. That's what you're saying is what I believe, which is the opposite. You have to learn about their world
mm-hmm.
from their perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is not done enough
yeah.
in order to help. It's the privileged mentality of, mm-hmm. well, I'm in a good place, so therefore I can help you. Well, sometimes it's about learning from mm-hmm. that person and hearing from them as to what they actually want and need, not what you perceive
what their needs are. It's like seen but not heard. And exactly. I believe the other way around. I think you need to hear.
Yes.
I think you need to definitely. Listen. Although my son would say that I still don't listen. But that's well, okay. That's what I heard. But I think their world is fascinating.
Yeah.
Their world is incredible. And things that I learned from this past conversation, I have to say I wasn't fully aware of, even though I am on top of reading about, you know, adolescence
yeah.
As it's coming through in terms of science.
Well, and I think that's the point we wanted mm-hmm. to make, right? It is you can learn and you can study all mm-hmm. you want, but until you're in a room with a young person talking to them in the way you were, and that's to me, and again, it's a personal hope of where I want people to go with this information, and especially this series of episodes. I really hope that if you're working with young people out there, take this as an example of what you can do. Sit down with young people, have discussions, let them be with their peers, and do what you did. Listen
mm-hmm.
and guide the conversation, sure, but we didn't censor that conversation. We barely edited that conversation.
We barely edited.
It was mainly yeah. sound that we yeah. did the editing yeah. for, yeah. but it was very true and honest.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what makes it the most powerful, because if you were in a situation where you were running an organization or a youth group or a school, you would be able to take this information and go, okay, I'm hearing from them. Now let's try applying this,
which mm-hmm. is what
we can only hope will happen. But again, it doesn't.
And I think they need to participate in it too. Yeah. Like, you know, this is how change happens. Yeah. More and more conversations we have, you know, louder the voices get. And yeah. I think that's what we're trying to do here
yeah.
with our platform and our podcast, is bringing these voices,
yeah.
whether they're shift workers or whether they are teenagers.
Yeah. Well, Mike yeah. and I were involved in the youth group for mm-hmm. many years, and that's one of the reasons why we decided to step down, was we were getting out of that element. You know, mm-hmm. we weren't able to relate to them as much anymore. So we thought, you know, to make it a youth group, you know, to keep it at that core, we decided that maybe we should hand it over to youth again so that they have that core network. So it's very important to have them heard.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, moving forward, we're going to see this group back.
Yeah, we are.
More young people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots yeah, definitely. Of different opportunities to discuss. I mean, it again, it's like we just said, it's why we have this platform and what we want to do some good with it. So hopefully we'll see them back soon. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Get ready for some great content moving forward. Just remember, if you did miss that episode, episode 9 is available on ruhisleep.ca. Go check it out. That is the hour and a half long episode that is our teen talk. It's a great, great chat. Some really fascinating topics in there. Well worth a listen a couple of times to really to get the content to absorb it. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening.